Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you have turned your dial to CFRA and I want you to know that you can also find us Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And I want to welcome those listeners who are listening from around the world. This morning's program is sponsored by Faith Anglican Church located in Embrum. There is a church that's making a difference. Thank you so much for your generous support. Your partnership with us in the gospel is really appreciated. Good News in the Morning is sponsoring this great event that's going to take place on Saturday, May 2nd at noon at Bethany Baptist Church. It's Ask the Pastor Day. There's going to be a light lunch and a chance to hear and interact with the pastors from this program. The event is free, but we will be taking up an offering which will go towards helping to fund this program. Looks like it's going to be a wonderful time, talking, conversation, music. If you want more information, you can go to the website goodnewsinthemorning.ca and look under the events page. This morning, I am going to be looking at a passage of Scripture from Mark chapter 9, and I want to talk to you about the disciples' big fail. You know, there have been times in my life when I wondered if the gospel worked. It's not that I don't believe in the existence of God, because I do. It's not that I don't believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ, because I do. But there have been times in my life when I wondered about the power of the gospel. Those times usually come when I see this profound disconnect between the life that I'm living and the life that I know that I'm called to live. You know, I know that God has called us to love him with all our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I know that God has shone his love in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And yet there have been times when I have struggled to love certain people. There's a disconnect there. I know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I know that joy is different than happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances. It would be absurd to be happy at a funeral of someone you really love. But joy is deeper than that. It's an underlying sense of well-being. It is like Horatio Spafford's testimony. He was financially destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He then planned to travel to Europe, but he got held up, so he sent his wife and two daughters ahead. Their ship was in a collision, and only his wife was rescued. He sailed to meet his wife in deep grief, but when the ship passed close to where his daughters had drowned, he penned the words to the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Listen to those words as Sandy Patty sings it. That's the definition of joy. When peace or when sorrow is there, there's a sense of well-being. It is well with my soul. That's the power of the gospel. There's an underlying sense that no matter what the circumstances, it's good on the inside. But there have been times in my life where circumstances have been bad, and I haven't been honestly able to say, it is well with my soul. And in those times, I've wondered about the power of the gospel. Have you ever been there? Maybe you thought that prayer should work in a particular way, but it didn't. Maybe you thought that the gospel should give you the strength to live above sin, but you find yourself returning to your pet sins. Maybe you thought that the gospel should make you feel good about yourself, but you find your ability to accept yourself is still out of reach. Maybe you thought the gospel would give you strength to get by, but the strength didn't come through, and in those times you wonder about the power of the gospel. So what do you do when you can't seem to do what you're supposed to be able to do through the power of the gospel? Well, to help us answer that question, I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 9. But before we get there, I want to take you to a few verses in Mark chapter 6, verse 6. And this is what it says. Then Jesus went from village to village teaching the people. And he called the 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, giving them the authority to cast out evil spirits. He gives them instructions. Then it goes on to say in verse 12, so the disciples went out telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and to turn to God. And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. So Jesus gave his disciples the power and the authority to cast out evil spirits. So they embarked on their ministry and preached and cast out evil spirits. They healed people. But now we get to Mark chapter 9. Jesus had just taken his disciples Peter, James, and John up onto the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, where they had this great spiritual experience. While they were at the top of the mountain, the other nine disciples were at the bottom of the mountain. When Jesus came down the mountain with Peter, James, and John, he saw the other nine disciples in an argument with some of the religious teachers. So Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about?" So we pick up the story in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. What do you do when you can't seem to do what you're supposed to be able to do through the power of the gospel? They had been granted the power to cast out evil spirits. They had done it before. In fact, they had done it a number of times, but now they couldn't do it. So what do you do when you can't do what you're supposed to be able to do? Well, the disciples' first move was to argue about it. We're not told what the argument was about, but we are told who the argument was with. It was with the teachers of the religious law. These were the people who were already critical of Jesus, so by extension would be critical of Jesus' disciples. But I would note that it takes two sides to argue. When it is you alone and you can't seem to do what you're called to do, it's disheartening. Then what often happens is that you start to argue with yourself. We call this rationalization. You tell yourself all the reasons why you can't do what you're supposed to be able to do, and we're just like the disciples. We argue with ourselves. If a group of people can't seem to do what they're called to do, then conflict and bickering and argument is one of the first things that takes place. I've been on the sidelines of a number of church conflicts. There are some things that I've learned by observation. One thing I've learned is that the issue is rarely the issue. The conflict may be over a particular program or around a particular person or maybe around the color of the carpet, but the issue is seldom the issue. If you look close at what's going on, often, not always, but often the church can't seem to do what it's supposed to be doing through the power of the gospel. So it turns in on itself. The last thing we really want to focus on is why we don't have the spiritual power that we should have. We're often like the nine disciples. We can't do what we're supposed to be able to do, so we argue. The response of Jesus was quite different. In Mark chapter 9, verse 19, Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Ouch. This is not Jesus gentle and mild. This is Jesus rebuking his disciples. Now, he hasn't stopped loving them. He hasn't stopped caring about his disciples, but he rebukes them. Oh, I don't like it when Jesus rebukes us. The disciples haven't quite figured it out, but he is preparing them to take over the ministry when he leaves this earth. And he has just been up on a mountain away for a short time, and the disciples were stymied. So he calls them a faithless people or a faithless generation. He gives them the authority, but exercising authority in the spiritual realm is always connected with faith. You have to know that faith matters. Your ability to live out the gospel is dependent on your faith in the gospel. Your ability to access the promises of God is dependent on your faith in the promises of God. But sometimes we hit situations that we just don't have the faith for. We end up not being able to do what we believe we should be able to do. You want faith, you need faith, but you just don't seem to be able to exercise it. So what do you do? Well, Jesus says, "Bring the boy to me." I've noticed that when I feel powerless and haven't been able to do what I'm supposed to be able to do through the power of the gospel, I end up feeling helpless. And whether it's that I need more love or more peace or more patience or more strength or more endurance, and I don't seem to have what it takes. And after coming to the end of myself and my strategies and my self-pity, I end up saying, I can't do it. And then I come to Jesus. I don't have the answers, but in my mess, I come to Jesus and I pray a prayer of surrender. Lord, I give you my stuff. I don't have what it takes. I give it to you. I come to the end of myself, and I've come to the end of my ways, and I've come even to the end of my faith. I give it all to you. That's called surrender. Surrendering to God is a good thing. Verse 20. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and it gets worse. The boy starts thrashing on the ground. Isn't that just the way? You've come to Jesus, you pour out your heart to Jesus, you surrender to Jesus, and it gets worse. You know, life can be messy and life can be difficult and hard, but when you come to Jesus, sometimes it becomes all-out war. The demons of hell don't want you to come to Jesus. They will do their best to make sure you don't come to Jesus. And now you have felt helpless because you haven't been able to do what you thought you were supposed to be able to do. And you've come to Jesus and you put the mess in his hands. You've surrendered it to him. And it gets worse. But at least the nine disciples could say, well, it's Jesus' responsibility now. That's a great definition of surrender. It's Jesus' responsibility now. Jesus takes a step back and says in verse 21, well, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, well, since he was a little boy, spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. You know, that sounds like my prayers. God, if you can do anything about this, I would sure appreciate it. Meanwhile, the boy is thrashing on the ground. Meanwhile, our lives are as messy as ever. Verse 23, Jesus says, what do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Again, it's back to the theme of faith. But I'm with the dad in the story. This has been going on for a long time. I came to people who have a track record of being able to help, and well, they couldn't help. And Jesus, if you can do something. And Jesus comes back, Father, it's a matter of faith. Anything is possible for those who believe. And the Father gives what I think to be one of the best replies in the Bible, verse 24. The Father instantly cries out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And that seemed to be enough for Jesus. I do believe, but help my unbelief. That is a humble response. That is a response that asks Jesus to help even with faith. Before Jesus dealt with the boy, he dealt with the Father. Before Jesus deals with the stuff in our lives, he often deals with us. He brings us face to face with who we are in order that we can see his power at work in our lives. Verse 25 of Mark 9. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes the boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into a violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." So the boy is in a horrible condition. They bring the boy to Jesus, and he gets worse. He falls down, he thrashes on the ground. Then Jesus becomes actively involved in the situation, and things look like they get worse still. The boy looks dead. When God is at work, things are not always what they seem. When you see what is happening in the spiritual realm, it may be very different than what's happening in the physical realm. Jesus had just talked to the boy's father about having faith, and it was a good thing because at this moment, when all seems lost, that's what the dad needed more than anything. Faith. Faith to believe that Jesus was at work. Faith to believe that the God could do more than what he was seeing. Faith to believe that, what he was seeing with his eyes was not really what was happening in the spiritual realm. Well, verse 27 says, "But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet. And he stood up. Jesus came through." Well, after things went from bad to worse to really bad, Jesus came through. You know, some of you people find yourself in the middle of the story. We get to hear the story at the with the end in mind. But when you're in the middle of the story, it's harder. When you're figuratively thrashing on the ground, it's harder. When you're helpless and you don't know what to do, it's harder. When things are going really tough and you think things are going on in the spiritual realm, but when you look at things, nothing seems to be happening. It is really hard. Jesus, though, has a habit of coming through, even when the story gets harder. Verse 28. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "So why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer. This kind can be cast out only by prayer." What do you do when you can't do what you feel you should be able to do through the power of the gospel? The disciples were asking, "Why? Why couldn't we do it?" Jesus talked to them in public about faith, and in private, he talks to them about prayer. See, prayer is that which undergirds faith. Faith is built through prayer. Faith comes as people pray. You know, some of you have been in a place where you can't seem to be able to do what you should be able to do through the power of the gospel. Your first inclination is to argue about it or rationalize it. But Jesus comes and says, there is a faith issue here. But more than that, I want to teach you about yourself. So will you take your situation? Will you take your mess? Will you take those things that you feel completely helpless about and surrender them to me? Will you put them in my hands? Will you bring the issue to me? Are you willing to do that? You surrender it to him. You put it in his hands. And sometimes when you do that, it gets worse. You see, because now when it's in Jesus' hands, there's spiritual warfare going on. You know, the demons and devils of hell, they don't want you to make progress with Jesus. And so Jesus comes and you put it in his hands and you struggle. But part of surrendering is admitting that you don't have what you need. Jesus may come along and teach you about faith, and you may cry out with the Father, "I do believe, help my unbelief." And Jesus will be at work at the situation. It may not look like it, but you can trust him. Are you ready to surrender and trust? Remember, the foundation of trust is prayer. Or as Jesus puts it in the story, much prayer. Remember to pray. See, when life gets hard, remember to pray more. When life gets really hard, surrender, trust, and pray. So you've been in a place where you don't know, where you haven't been able to do what you should be able to do. You know you shouldn't doubt, but you do. What does that make you? It makes you just like the nine disciples. Jesus continues to love them. Jesus continues to teach them. He continues to work with them. He continues to accept him, just like he will with you. In the process, he has something to teach you about himself. He has something to teach you about yourself. He has something to teach you about trust. He has something to teach you about prayer. So for those of you who have been struggling, hear this very clearly. Jesus cares for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who have been able, are in the middle of a struggle. And Lord, they've been thinking, oh, I should be able to do this, but I can't. And so, Lord, I pray that they would see themselves in the faces of the disciples. And Lord, that you would take them from where they are and teach them and walk with them and help them surrender to you. Teach them about faith. Give them faith. Help them to walk this through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If good news in the morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear your story. Nothing could encourage us more than in this work. So contact us by email or by Twitter via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Again, a special thank you to Faith Anglican Church for sponsoring this program. And mark your calendars for May 2nd at noon at Bethany Baptist Church for Good News in the Morning, Ask the Pastor Luncheon. For more information, you can check it out online as well. And thank you for listening this morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help us financially, we would really appreciate it. You can help us by sending a check to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Thanks for considering this. My prayer for you is that may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out listening to the song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580.